The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And a very warm welcome to everybody listening to the Daily Racing Podcast here at William Hill, hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers. And for this edition of the podcast, I'm delighted to be joined by William Hill Racing Radio pundit, Kevin O'Malley. Kevin, good to see you. How are you? Keeping well?
I'm not too bad at all, Bobby. How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. Of course, you are expecting a little one on the way. If you don't mind me asking, when's the little one due?
She will be due in kind of early to mid-October.
Fantastic.
So yeah, really looking forward to it.
And is your first one as well, yeah?
First child, yes.
And can I give you a word of advice as a father of two?
Go on.
Get your sleep in now.
Okay, that's fine. Look, sleep. We've actually been trying for quite a few years, so, you know, we're ready. And sleep is overrated anyway. I'm not too bothered. I'm not the best of sleepers anyway. I'm here at Willett. I slayed in a lovely hotel last night, a nice, lovely, comfortable bed, and I probably slept for about 5 hours broken.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just a terrible sleeper by nature, so it's fine. I'm just looking forward to hanging out with my daughter, and that's just it. So yeah, really exciting times.
If you just have a look back at what we saw over the weekend, did anything stand out for you at all?
Well, I actually took the weekend off from racing purposely and just completely switched off from it, though I did catch the last hour or so of action at the Curragh on Saturday before I turn my attention to some movies and popcorn and things with my missus. I quite enjoyed Basic Law's win. I put him up in my column. I did actually do some work, so I did actually put a column up for Saturday. But you know, some weekends are more hectic than others, and generally I just switched off from it. I did quite like Basic Law's win in the Premier Handicap at 4:05. There, he displayed a good bit of stamina there over the mile trip, and he beat a highly regarded type in Jasser.
Yeah,
and I think Basic Law for Gerry Lyons, whether it's an Irish Cambridgeshire or an English Cambridgeshire, or top Premier handicaps over a mile for sure. And I think he'll be able to land another one of those before the year's out. Obviously, Siskin, he won the Railway Stakes for Gerry Lyons. He looks to be a top colt. But, you know, he is a top colt. I mean, he's probably the best two-year-old we've seen thus far. That would include what we've seen at Ascot, really. He ran up to a Racing Post rating of 115 there. The speed figure was solid. But, you know, we haven't seen anything really develop out of the top yards yet. The O'Brien lot, apart from the Coventry Stakes winner, of course. He's a good 2-year-old, but you know, how's he gonna fare when he starts stepping up in trip? And you know, will he be a 2000 guineas type? Will they try and make him into a 2000 guineas type when he's actually a sprinter? So it remains to be seen whether or not he can keep on this winning run, but he is a lovely type for sure. So very interested to see how Siskin develops over the coming months. And then there was that Irish Derby. What did you make of it? Did you see it? No. Apart from clips of it, probably.
Yeah, the reason why I saw clips of it is because I did a double header on Saturday. I worked during the day at Newcastle.
Oh, you were on course, were you?
Yeah, I was on course at Newcastle. And then as soon as the Northumberland Plate finished, I literally jumped in my car, drove down to Doncaster, and I worked at Doncaster that night for Rito. So
Busy day for Bobby.
Very busy day indeed. And what we're interested is that as soon as Tom Marquand passed the line on Who Dares Wins, that's where I said, right, I've got to go now. So I jumped in my car, went down. And when I arrived at Doncaster, I went into the press room, and Tom Marquand had just had a winner at Doncaster because he had flown down from Newcastle down to Doncaster.
Could have given you a lift.
I did say that to him. I did say that to him.
Yeah. But yeah, as for that Irish Derby, you know, it was just a disappointing fair. In my column, I tried to take on the top of America, Anthony Van Dyke and Co, because I don't think the Epsom Derby was up to much. I don't think the form is very good. I don't think they're a very good bunch of colts. I went for the wrong one. The horse that I picked came last, and Sovereign won it at 33-1. But you know, one or two shrewd pundits, including Andrew Mount, you know, put this horse up at 66-1. Sovereign, he lost a shoe at Epsom, and he wasn't beaten fair considering a few things went against him. So yeah, I mean, he wasn't completely discounted, and you know, but he ran the race of his life, and he ran up to a Racing Post rating of 117. You know, he might be able to match that performance again if he runs the race of his life, but in open company in the likes of, you know, the Arc and the great pantheon of big middle distance races, mm-hmm. he's going to be found badly wanting, isn't he? Anthony van Dijk, the Derby winner, ran up to a Racing Post rating of 105. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that tells you he was about £20 below what you'd expect from a Derby winner next time out. It was very, very disappointing race, all told, the Irish Derby. And that's just the way it is. And generally, things at the Curragh are not looking particularly, you know, fantastic at the moment. You know, it's the highlight, it's the feature attraction of the flat season over in Ireland. It's the main course, Barra Leopardstown, and they're just not quite getting things right. But I'm sure they will. They'll address certain things. And it'll come good, and certainly it'll help when we start getting better crops of middle-distance three-year-olds. Mm-hmm. This year is just a little bit of an enigma. There doesn't seem to be anything standing out, and that's a bit of a shame, but there you go.
The return of an Able Kev on Saturday in the Group 1 Eclipse at Sandown over a mile and a quarter. I'll just give you the betting it, obviously, at the time of recording. Obviously, this could all change depending on the horses what turn up in the race, but enables the 6-4 favourite with us here at William Hill. Circus Maximus is the 11-2 second favourite. Magical 7-1. Regal Reality is next, also at 7-1. Zabil Prince at 16s-20s for Mustachery and Telecaster 25-1. And bigger for the remainder. So interesting with Enable, because we've not actually seen her since she won the Breeders' Cup Turf last November.
Yep. Better known, obviously, as a 12 furlong horse. She's ran over 12 furlongs in her last God knows how many starts. She's been a long time since she ran over 10 furlongs. Mm-hmm. We know that she's going to stay. That won't be an issue. But, you know, is she vulnerable first time out? We know that she's the best horse in the race. There's no escaping that fact. But she's 6-4. She hasn't been seen since she ran at Churchill Downs last November. Mm-hmm. She's running over a trip she hasn't tried for a long time. And there's, you know, some new tests here. She obviously got the better of Magical at Churchill Downs, but she has to do so again over a trip that arguably might suit the Aidan O'Brien filly a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I think Magical is 7-1, is she?
Yes, yeah. Just confirm that for you. Yes, she is, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, 6-4 versus 7-1, arguably you could say that Magical might just be a little bit of value there against the Enable. You know, she is just the best filly, though. She's the best horse in the race, and sometimes mm-hmm. champions, as we saw with Stradivarius at Royal Ascot, the real great champions just find a way mm-hmm. to find a way to win, don't they? Circus Maximus, who won the St James's Palace Stakes, he gets a £7 weight for age allowance and is interesting. Stepping up in trip again, he should definitely get the trip and that weight concession. If he can improve again, he'd be right on the scene. I might just take a chance. I mean, there's several in there with interesting chances. Regal Reality was very impressive when he beat Matterhorn last time out at Sandown. Zabil Prince might be able to bounce back to form. Mustachery as well is there, the Lockhinge winner. But I might just take a chance on Telecaster, the Dante winner, each way, especially if kind of there's 9 or 10 runners and mm-hmm. he's about 16-1 on the day, something like that. Because, you know, he just got completely worked up. He was obviously supplemented for the Derby at Epsom, but he got completely worked up in the prelims. I think he might have lost a shoe as well, and it just everything went against him. He had the box coffin draw as well. Mm-hmm. And all told, you know, he came dead last, but he was still only beaten 19 lengths, you know, having ran no race at all. So I think he's worth forgiving, because before that he was hugely progressive.
Mm-hmm.
The last time he went right-handed at Windsor as well, he was very impressive there. He dotted up by 9 lengths. So yeah, I think Telecaster at 20-1 presently with William Hill. And perhaps if you get to see the fully formed field come Thursday afternoon, and you might still get kind of 14s or 16s, I'd probably have a nibble on him each way. It's a little bit of a shot in the dark, obviously, and he's got some serious horses at the top to try and get past Enable, Circus Maximus, Magical, etc. But there you go. I'm a value-seeking punter, Bobby.
There's also a really good card up at Haydock as well, which includes the Group 2 Lancashire Oaks and also the Old Newton Cup. If we just get your opinions on both, please, starting first with the Lancashire Oaks. At the time of recording, NBHAR for John Gosden and Dane O'Neill is the 9-4 favourite.
She is indeed, and she is one of the nicest looking fillies I've seen for a while, certainly. If it was a beauty pageant, she'd win it hands down. NBHAR, I first got a look at her when she finished fourth at Ascot, I think, but at the back end of last season, she didn't really catch my eye before that run. She ran at Goodwood first time out, and she beat Classique, so that form is absolutely solid at Goodwood, but she really built on that, I thought, at York last time out over the mile and four trip when she just got gunned down late in the day by Dramatic Queen. That was over a mile and six, obviously. This Lancashire Oaks is back over a mile and four. Dramatic Queen looks as though she's going to reoppose, but I think NBHR will have a little bit too much class for Dramatic Queen back over the 12 furlong distance, so I think NBHR is going to be very, very difficult to beat in that race. Classique, Highgarden, Nialetti, all, you know, well-respected fillies and unlikely to be too far away. But I've just got a bit of a soft spot forming for NBHR, and she might just be, you know, she might just be a Group 1 prospect waiting to emerge on Saturday. She needs to improve by another kind of half a stone to be considered a Group 1 candidate. But I do think the drop back in trip, plus that experience last time out at York, will help her come forward again. Physically, she looks like a Group 1 horse. Hopefully, she can go ahead and prove it.
And the 3:15 at Haydock, as I say, is the All Newton Cup. And at the time of recording, first 11 heads the market here at 11-2.
It does indeed. Won the Jorvik Handicap at York last time out in very gritty style. Ran up to a racing post rating of 116. And runs off 109 here, a revised mark handicap mark. Obviously, winning a handicap off a mark of 109, there's absolutely no hiding places now, but clearly sets the standard, does first 11. I still think he's worth having a look against him. Al Mufri, he won a good race at Redcar last time out, but he's unproven over the 12 furlong trip. So absolute stamina over 12 furlongs will be the question mark for that one. But he is a nice horse, trained by William Haggis, and will be ridden by one of the men of the moment, Daniel Tudhope. So always a very potent combo there, Haggis and Tudhope. Corgi's in there as well for Ewing Morrison. He's in there with every chance each way, but I fancied him in his last couple of starts, and he's just looked a little bit flat in the closing stages of his races. It might just be that it's not quite his time of the year. He could be more of an Ebor horse, and indeed he might be, you know, being trained specifically to prime and peak for the Ebor. But either way, he looks vulnerable to me for the win, Corgi, but he's respected each way. He's got solid form. The one I quite like, I believe, is 14-1 with William Hill, is Island Brave. Will be running for Oxfordshire trainer Heather Main. Won very tidily, I thought, over a mile and five at Ayr last time out. And is only up £3 from that win here. Connections will have one eye on the Ebor for sure, as will many runners in this race, Bobby. But yeah, I quite like Island Brave. That win over a mile and five was bang tidy, and takes a little drop back in trip to a mile and four. I don't think that'll inconvenience the horse here. Stamina is absolutely assured. Runs off a mark of 99. Won at Ayr off 96. So the handicapper was fairly lenient. Only nudged him up by £3. And I think he's capable of a very big run at nice odds.
Look ahead to the action on Wednesday afternoon. Where are your two selections going to be from, please?
The Muscle Bread at 3:30.
Okay.
I quite like Race Lassad. It looks like there's not a two-horse race, but I think James Tate's Tribal Warrior is the deflying the ointment. Won two of his last three, including over the course and distance when we seen him last summer, but fitness isn't completely assured. Jacob Black is fit and has reasonable form, but often flatters to deceive, while Pepe could also be expected to improve for the run first time out. So I quite like Race Lassad. It's been racking up some really good numbers. He returned to action over course and distance, and this year in 2019 he ran an absolute cracker behind Porth Swatan. Ran up to an RPR of 94 that day. He went off the boil in two starts after that. But his latest effort at Doncaster was a little bit of a step back in the right direction, I thought, and I think he remains well handicapped off 87. So he'll be my first one in the 3:30 at Musselburgh. My second selection on Wednesday will be in the 4:40 at Thirsk, and that will be Wentworth Falls. He's the top weight here. Hasn't won since 2017, but in his last 12 starts spanning across 2018 and 2019, he's ran up to RPRs, racing post ratings, that were higher than his current handicap mark of 94 on 11 of those 12 occasions, which is quite remarkable, really. So he hasn't managed to find the net, but he's just been running really, really consistently. Mm-hmm. And it's only one of his last 12 starts where he's actually disappointed, and that was first time out this season. So Wentworth Falls deserves to get his head in front. He's back down in class, and I think he might just be able to stamp his quality on this field off top weight. The main dangers... Moon Trouble clocked a searingly fast time at Chelmsford last time out. It has to be respected, but this is a different test. Royal Prospect scored well here last time out, but may just prefer softer ground. So it's Wentworth Falls for me in that 4:40 at Thirsk, Bobby.
Kev, as always, a pleasure to work with you here on the Daily Racing Podcast.
Thank you, sir.
Join Dave Kellner, Tom Morley and Craig Forsyth on Wednesday afternoon. The action gets underway at 2 p.m. so we'll be live on air from 1:50 p.m. and they'll be taking you through the racing at Musselburgh, Thirsk, Worcester, Bellistown, Kempton and Bath.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.